Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Wake up, wake your punk. Wake up. This is 4th District, my dudes. I am here with the wonderful Adam Bain.
Yo.
And the mediocre Dan Duncan.
What am I, how do you respond to that?
You just say what's up.
What's up?
There you go.
There it is. All
right. Abusive relationships.
It is, somewhat. It is. This is, you gotta know, this is how I get my reparations every
oh my, every podcast. I'm paying for your debt.
Yeah, bro. You got to.
Black History Month.
Exactly. Come on. Crack that whip, bro.
Welcome to Black History Month.
Absolutely. Welcome to it. Yep. Yeah. David Perdue is not here to celebrate. He's a joker.
Do we need to address this on air?
I think we do. I think we got to talk about this.
David is the most.
Yeah. He's the most fill in the blank.
For those that are tuning in for the first time to Off the Record, what this is the four staff gets together.
Yeah.
And we unfilteredly, what would be the word there?
Candidly.
There we go. Yeah,
there you go.
Candidly.
Because unfilteredly is definitely not a word.
Hey, not till we get to this Flint water crisis conversation.
Because there's definitely some unfilteredly stuff happening there.
But anyway, four staff, we get together and we candidly talk through many issues, and basically we just drop the filter. We say what we need to say because no one else will.
Yeah.
Sometimes, David, we get the backlash of it. We get the,
sometimes, yes, we do.
And David Perdue is on our staff.
He is.
And he, out of all of the staff members that are a part of this show, pushes this show, which I appreciate.
Sure.
But he pushes it and he'll say on a Saturday, "Hey guys, Off the Record Monday, be great.
Be great.
Be there." And then he sends us a text and says, "Hey guys, I can't make it till later tonight on Monday. Can we push it back?" Sure, David. Guess what time we're going to record at 10:30 at night. It's 11 o'clock now for those that care what time we record at.
Yeah. 11 p.m.
And then he says, "Oh, by the way, guys, I can't make it."
Yeah.
This is consistent.
It's so bad because the thing is that David is eager and unavailable. Like, I don't think you can be both. Like, you can't be anxious and unreachable at the same time.
You'd be like, "This is the greatest thing ever, dog. We have to do this.
By the way,
I will not be available for any of it.
But we should all do it.
But we should do
but
it.
But I won't be there.
But I won't be in attendance.
Bro, you can't use we.
At all.
Well, the original three are here. The three founders of 4th District, which is good. We don't rarely get to be in a room together.
No, we don't.
No.
So, this is fun. Right, yeah. Show?
It is.
Can I check my phone? Check his Instagram. Like, guess not.
I'm checking to see if Jesse Jackson dropped out the race yet, man.
I think Jesse Jackson is long ago.
Oh, he ain't running this shit?
So I got to applaud us for 2 weeks in a row, Off the Record.
Yeah.
Man. On schedule.
Yo.
I'm pat David Perdue on the back for that, I guess.
We might need to take a break. Like, this is too much work.
This is too. This is maxed out. overwhelming for me. I don't know. I just don't know what to do with my hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah.
Before we dive in, what's going on in your world? Show.
A lot, man. A lot. I don't know. I never know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
Because half the stuff I don't want to share with all of the people who listen to the show. So it's like, I guess you can say, coy about my life on social media.
I saw that all your albums mixed and mastered. Can we say that?
Oh yeah, it's definitely mixed and mastered. And right now, probably tomorrow we'll land on a release date.
So I'll check Rapzilla tomorrow.
yes, you can. Man, I have to say, I'm extremely excited about this album. I will say this, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about how dope I am, but I will say my writing is, this is the best writing I've done on any project probably ever.
Dope.
But the music, I think, is also good, but I will say it's different because it's all produced by my man, James Portier. And we are definitely going for a certain sound.
Cool.
So, but 90% of the music is live instrumentation. There's some samples and stuff like that, but most of it is most of it is live.
That's what's up.
Studio live, not like we played the live, like the guitar was live, the drums are live. Not like we just recorded it, like just like, hey, you keep one, alive. Two, three. You can keep
put some stank on it.
Oh gosh. Yeah. But I will say this though, this is totally off the subject, right?
Yeah.
That's what we
this
do.
This is
here.
Off the record. I was driving, so today I went, I got a hold, not just today, yesterday I got a hold of Alex Faith's album, mm-hmm. and I've been listening to it driving around. And I will say, man, that album is probably, it is extremely underrated.
Extremely underrated.
And I was listening to your spoken word joint, that mug.
Oh my gosh, bro. Hey.
That mug did something to me, bro.
I texted him the first time I heard the song.
Yeah.
Literally, I was crying in the car.
Wow. Yeah, that's punk stuff, but what I'm saying is, nah, I told him, I'm pretty sure I told you how dope the dope it was when I first released, but listening to it again was even more powerful. That last line just does it for my soul when marginalized people refuse to stay in the margins.
Yeah, man.
But, man, that album is so good, bro.
Did you feel as good when you walked out after, like, because you can brag on yourself. It's really good.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm talking to Christians, right? So I have to say praise God, right?
I pray that we're not only talking to Christians in this episode.
I was just speaking to y'all in the room.
Dan is a Christian hater.
No, but, it was, man, I felt good about and I think you can relate to this too, Joe. And even you, Dan, like, there's like these moments where you need it to work. So like, you might see it in your head and like, yo, this is a dope idea. Check.
Yeah.
Then the actual execution of writing it. Does that work?
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
And then like the actual performance of it. Does that work? Check. And at any given point, the idea might be dope.
Yep.
The execution might be dope, but the writing might be off, or like one of those parts might be off. And so that was one of the times where, you know, shout out to Alex. Like I'm someone who I don't like a lot of people in the studio when I record or whatever. That is not Alex. Yeah. Alex.
Alex has a party in that.
Alex has a
and guns
every time.
Every
time I'm in the studio recording something, it's like not even your session, Alex. Why are you inviting people to my session, bro?
It's nuts. But you know,
it's been that way since he was 18. I knew him when he was 18. I'd be at his house.
I love that guy.
Recording, and there'd be like six guys just sitting around staring at me. I'd be like, bro,
I don't know who these guys.
I can't just openly say, can they leave?
Absolutely.
I'll say, hey, Alex, can you step outside real quick? And then when we come back in, you
tell these fools to leave.
Apparently, show just went outside and tell them.
They can put two and two together really
so
easily.
Like, I guess I'll just deal here and work through my mishaps in front of these six strangers.
Absolutely.
And so they'd be like, oh, he's not that dope. I thought he was going to knock it out in one try.
Absolutely. Oh, when I hear this, I'll think about the 16 times it took him to record that verse.
Exactly.
But no, man, real quick, like Alex, he's such a, I didn't know really Alex at all before working with him on this. And he's just a good dude, one. And then two, he asked me to come in and just listen to the album like beforehand. And I felt like I was too close to it to like adequately judge it. But I remember feeling like, yo, like, man, you got a great record. Like you have a really great record. And whether I was on it or not, man, I was not a fan of the little I have heard of, what was that, At Last or whatever.
Yeah, there was some gold on. And see, this is my struggle. It's like, I realized that when I listen to an album the first time, it may be good for me to listen to it, but I have to revisit it. Mm-hmm. So even in Church Close 3, I may at some point in time revisit that album and probably give it a different assessment, because I do recognize that I was somewhat hard on the last podcast. Some folks got at me about that.
Really?
They just caught me hating and everything.
Don't backslide.
No, I'm just saying, like, I still feel the same way about it, but I'm saying like in the future it may change.
Well, that's true. Okay. You can, yeah, I think going back that's and listening fair. To stuff is always good. But yeah, man, Alex, great record, is dope. You know who also is putting out music pretty recently? Drake and Meek Mill have been putting out some records.
Why did this happen again? Is the real, like, talk about like a don't do that bro moment. Shout out to JP. Like someone read Drake's verse and was like, this is what you want to spend your first single doing, is revisiting a battle that you clearly won and everyone remembers that way.
That's like
the Broncos winning the Super Bowl and then Peyton Manning saying, hey, you know what we should try to do? Let's replay the Super Bowl. Like this could work out well for us.
That would be ridiculous. Yes. Point taken.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
So you're basically saying Drake is making a bad decision right now.
He made Meek owned him.
Did he?
Meek like him? So my person.
I haven't listened to these songs. Well, I heard. So give me. Is Summer 16 one of those songs?
Yeah, that's okay. Drake's single he unveiled on the OVO radio show that he does. And that's
so
what's
the first
single.
Shot fired in this new saga.
Yes.
Okay.
However. Less than 30 minutes later, Meek put out a response.
30 minutes?
Yes.
And do you think he already recorded it before?
And he's answering specifically lines that are in there. So everyone was like, what is going on here? What happened? There is obviously a leak in Drake's camp.
Yeah.
And so Meek had the record, knew what was going to be said. Meek says that the ghostwriter gave it to him.
Quentin.
That's what he says.
Let's go
it
Quentin.
Could be that if we're going to assume that Drake's song was ghostwritten, or it's just he has someone in his team that just let out the song and, you know.
So, he's saying that Quentin actually wrote that verse.
He's saying that the ghostwriter. He doesn't say Quentin.
But he says a ghostwriter.
A ghostwriter, yeah. He said the ghostwriter
this
gave
is so
me
deep
this.
To me.
Do it's you, crazy.
So what if they're both punking us all? Have we like we stopped to think about this? Like they're both like, look, we're both mediocre famous at this point in time.
Who's mediocre famous?
Yeah, Drake ain't mediocre famous.
Drake is not mediocre famous, my friend.
He's not on the top of the game anymore.
Yes, he is, man.
What game are you watching?
He's still on top of
the game. Dude owns the game.
He's more... Peyton Manning with a broken neck.
No, man. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have you take a 5-minute timeout.
Man. Nah, man.
Name two rappers who's on top of the
if
game.
If he's old, then Ye is prehistoric. Jay is a fossil.
I wouldn't even say Kendrick is on his level right now.
What?
As an artist, he is. I'm talking about fame. I'm talking about status-wise. Drake is the most popular rap artist right now in the game.
I like, would I say that, yeah.
I would say Macklemore and Kendrick are both more popular than Drake.
Nah.
You don't... I'm so shocked that you're making these statements right now.
His face is that way. He said, "I'm."
Why?
I wouldn't.
Drake has all kinds of endorsements that Kendrick will probably never see.
Yeah.
Every time Drake sneezes, it's on some like, blog or
I would say
TMZ
that.
Or whatever.
I think Kendrick is just slowly starting to get a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe this is
of
like
what?
The hipsterness in me that's coming out, where I just like I don't follow Drake like I used to anymore.
That must be it, man. Because Drake is...
That's the only excuse.
Yeah, because Drake
let
is...
Let me know your hipster.
Is that dude. And it's bizarre to say that, but he is that dude.
Okay, but who won?
Between...
Meek and Drake, round two.
Round two, I gotta go with Meek, honestly. Like, this War Pain song that Meek put out...
I gotta hear this joint.
I just... And I'm not even a Meek fan.
I can't stand that dude.
Yeah, and I just was like, oh, this sounds...
Is he screaming
mean.
Like on the other one? Is he like...
No, it sounds dirty. Like it sounds like I'm just
Philly.
I'm in a gutter.
Just Philly?
Yeah,
old
yeah,
school oh, yeah.
It sounds
like we can't play it.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
But
gotcha.
It's like those really hard Beanie records that you hear. It's there, and he only gives
I never
one
go to
verse.
Jail again. My man will shoot you.
It feels like that to me. So I was messing with that. But now in defense of Drake, like I don't hate that. What is Summer 16 song?
No, I thought it was fresh.
I thought it was cool. I like the second part better than the first part. Like the beat switch.
And that was my point. Was why do this? Like he doesn't need to.
But that's my thing. It wasn't. Well, I don't know the situation.
Right.
I heard the song thinking of it as a single.
So you didn't even pick up on.
No,
the,
I heard
Meek
like
references.
He was talking. Yeah, he's talking about we released the song. You was below us, the floor is below us, and so I caught some of the references, and then I know he was taking shots at cats from Toronto.
Yeah, yeah, Tory Lanez, I think his name.
But I didn't see it as I saw it as a song that he's trying to release. This is the thing about Drake. Like he's creating a new. I don't want to say genre, but he's. he's creating a new style of music that clearly sounds like him, right? And he's been doing that for a while, so that was ridiculous what I just said. What I mean is that the way that he does his hooks and the catchiness of his songs mm. are very they are what they are. They're very catchy. They're easy to remember. The whole revenge, looking for revenge, like people, I can see people singing that, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't really see it as like, oh, this is a song I'm coming at Meek Mill's. I saw it as just a joint. Like, this is I'm releasing this dope song. Get ready for my album.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Now, if Meek killed him, then that's a whole nother situation.
But I think that's the thing too. Is like with Drake, like he's got this weird. To the point about how on top of the game he is, he has this weird cachet where like he can put these songs out and that doesn't really sound like a single, but everyone like exactly. It will get covered like a single.
Yeah.
So then it just that's is why, like,
I feel like he's redefining it.
Yes. And it's just like, yeah, this is my thing. Like,
that's like, why I say he's on top of the game, is because when you can drop that mixtape, first of all, you could do like the if you're watching this too late,
if you're reading this too late,
he drops that mixtape,
which was dope.
So he's releasing all these things, and first of all, he's kind of like just dropping them in the middle of the night. Nobody knows, you know. Mm-hmm. But all of these songs still get radio spins like it was the most commercial of songs. Yeah. And so that's what he said. Like, it's almost contagious in a way, and he's redefining kind of like commercial sounding records.
Yeah. I just know he would like upload, and you know, CRS always, Clock Radio Speakers always talks about this, but like, you know, he'll upload, like, started from the bottom, uploaded on like a SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll just be up there and people will love it and cover it and play it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I'm getting spins on this. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's the single.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
let me pull this down and I'll put it on iTunes. I guess it's the single. Spotify.
And like, it's just, it's a really bizarre thing that we've not seen artists do. But for me, now there might be, you know, y'all can tweet us and let us know, you know, for this. But like, for me, I just know when I heard both songs, I was like, yo, I'm really feeling this War Pain more than,
mm-hmm.
more than Drake. But, you know,
what is something he says in War Pain that just you were like,
well, you know, Meek ain't like a bar person,
right?
So it's not, there's nothing where you're like, this isn't Second Round Knockout by Cannabis. You're like, good God, what did you just do to that man?
Yeah.
But you know, but it's just so Philly. It's so, he gives him one verse and then his boy does the second verse. And but like, I like the beat more.
Yeah.
I just like Meek sounding hungry on the verse. And so And he, like I said, he addresses everything that, you know, he addresses being the floor below you, uh-huh. the floor below Drake while this was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he addresses, you know, Drake saying that he's Jay-Z now, basically. He addresses, you know, he just goes. Yeah, it was interesting when it came out. It was like, you know, a lot of people I remember seeing on Two Dope Boys, people were just like, yo, you know. All right, Meek, you got 4 days, you know, like you had last time.
He's like,
I got you.
I'll take your 4 days and I'll raise you.
Got you. Here's 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, man. But anyway, yeah, it was just what a time to be alive.
Yeah. Well, another guy that is put out music today, Asaiah Viz, got a lot of coverage. In an interesting light. Now, I would love, especially show, for you to kind of sound off on this, because I think especially in subgenres and hardcore fans of those subgenres, people watch your every move, and not only just your music, but how you live out that subgenre. So in this case with Christian hip hop, Asaiah Viz, formerly known as Kid, was very much at the core, the next up and coming guy on us. Same team, kind of like was his kind of like moment, where he kind of started getting a lot of coverage, or at least that's when I picked up on him. Mm-hmm. Who is this kid? But ultimately today, drops his album. Very cool piece of music. We covered it in
single.
No, we covered his single in the New Music Monday, but he dropped his whole album today. So go check that out, support it. But a lot of people were not going to support it today, because at the same time it was released that he is no longer claiming to be a Christian. Now, to the extent of that, he has not, like, clarified, or nor is it really important that he does, but to, it seemed to a lot of people that it was, that he is no longer necessarily claiming to be in the subgenre, nor necessarily following the faith. So, and that's reported via Rapzilla. They thought that that was the thing to report on today instead of his album dropping. So, got a lot of bad press, went all over Twitter. A lot of people were saying, I'm not going to support it.
How did they know that he is no longer a Christian? Did he make that statement?
No. So this was the troubling piece. From what I could tell, that was a private message shared on a text messaging. It was in the article that was posted on Rapzilla was said, hey, this was a text message that we got, and basically explained that he's no longer a Christian. Hopefully everyone will accept me for the love that I have, and blah, 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 blah. So it was written in a way that was, I guess, could be interpreted that was written to everyone, but it was also stated as a text message, and I can't remember the last time that a press release was sent via text message. So it was then published, and it seemed via...
Did he know that they were going to publish it?
No. Well, at least I know that he didn't think they were going to publish it today. Because on his Twitter, he said, oh, of course you're going to publish this today. So it's interesting, as the CHH world was far less concerned with listening to his album and see where he is now and understand the process that he's going through, and much more concerned with the clear cut, where do you land on this thing right here in this moment. And I have to be honest, even as a Christian, there's moments in my life that if you stopped me in a moment and said, where are you right now, I'd be like, I don't know, I may not be a Christian in this moment. Like, and so what is the pressure that a Christian hip-hop artist feels to, like, not be able to be in process? Because what I see is people, like, what I love about art is it's allowed to be in process. You're allowed to, like, take your process and put it into whatever medium you do.
There's two parts to this. This is one, I want to affirm the family of God, because it could be because we're so disgruntled with the subgenre. And I say we, the three of us, and some of the people who probably listen to this podcast, we're so disenchanted with the subgenre of Christian music, in the sense that we understand that it's politics, right? It's a game. That we can oftentimes come across as being people who don't appreciate what the principles and what it means to be, right? So Christian genre or Christian music in itself has all intents and purposes to be a family of people who support one another and who push people towards love and good deeds, and let's throw in good art in there because it's Christian music. So in that, I do think that the intentions of people who want to know his well-being is a good thing. People who want to make sure that, like, man, this is disappointing. Why does he feel this way? I want to love this brother. I want to, like, I'm concerned about his soul. I'm concerned about what got him to this place. I'm concerned of what kind of information he's given on his album and where he's going. Oftentimes, now the second part of that is oftentimes that's not translated in the way that it should be, right? It's not communicated in a way. So it's like those genuine concerns turns into, like, well, I ain't supporting you no more because you ain't yada yada, you know what I mean? Or blah, blah, blah. And so what happens is because it's Christian music, right? There's a qualifying statement to the music, which makes Christian music the only genre of its sort, like, which makes, yeah, Christian music the only genre that has this kind of qualifier to it. You have to fit all the criteria, like your resume must look well enough to be that of a Christian artist. And so what happens is you begin to perform, right? And so you can't perform in process, you know, because process means it's authenticity, right? It means that, so what happens is it's interesting, like you look at Genesis 1, 2, and 3, like in process, authenticity is being naked and saying, this is who I am, and being content with being naked. But then when you recognize there's something wrong with you, what sinfulness will make you do is cover that up and put on clothing. And then you're hiding yourself not only from your brother and sister, but from God, right? So you're removing the authenticity, you're removing the intimacy that is intentionally to be there. And honestly, if we lived in a perfect world, when Adam and Eve sinned, what they would have done is remain naked and said, Lord, we did something wrong. I don't like the way I feel, but help me work through this. Like, help me understand what's happening right now. And there's no room for that in Christian faith, because you sell records by the character that is presented to the people. And so that's why millions, I'm grossly exaggerating, that's why dozens of Christian hip hop artists that I know personally don't reveal much of their life publicly. They don't reveal that. And privately, you'll see things about them like, man, I never knew you like that, or I never knew you were this type of person. It's like, yeah, man. And they don't necessarily come out and say, well, because, but it's just the game you have to play, right? Sure. You have to sell yourself in order to make it in the Christian genre. And how do you sell yourself? You have to be the best Christian possible.
So let me ask you this, and Adon, I'd love your opinion on this as well. Why is it that we will wait for the scraps from Kendrick Lamar to drop us like one Christian line in a song where he like hints at spirituality, or Justin Bieber's pastor comes out and says, or Justin takes his interviewee to church, whoever's doing the interview for that day, and we're like, oh, we have a moment with these superstars, and they walk in our faith. But then if they go off a cliff the next day, it's like we still kind of wait for them to potentially kind of have faith as a Christian. So why is it that we're so willing to like walk with people, for the scraps of like these superstars, but anyone that's like kind of in process, that kind of has come up through this subgenre, we're so ready to kind of extend with an arm.
So I want to be very clear that I don't know if what I'm about to say is right at all.
I love it.
Should be very clear.
Usually I just say it with confidence, bro.
Yeah, but my feeling on that has to do with I believe that as Christians, as human beings, we still have this innate desire for like kingship and like people who are, you know, large and flag grand, bears. Absolutely, like all of that. Absolutely. So there's that's just there in humans, period.
Yeah.
Secondly, though, in particular with Christianity, we have this thing where we love to take from the enemy and we offer a grace that the reason why we don't mind taking scraps from Kendrick or however you described it, right? Whatever. Or someone saying, you know, someone who is, we will have grace on these other people and not on those who are working through process on our side, is because we feel like we are taking like
ground
from the enemy, right? Like we feel as though, so like if R. Kelly, right, when he was jumping on these songs with Kirk Franklin, we were like, oh, see what the Lord is doing. That is awesome. Like that's fine.
That's good.
But if there's someone coming up, like who came up in the
Molly
Christian market,
right.
Someone, Molly Music, right, comes up and he's like, well, I am working this out. It's like, no, we're losing ground. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't afford for that. So we have a much strict and a much like harsher, you know, judgment on those people. And like, you know, so it's very interesting. I remember talking with someone way long ago back in the day, feeling like it's the same grace that's given to Bono that isn't given to Amy Grant, or you know what I'm saying? Like whoever we want to throw out in those worlds, right? Where it's just like, if you come out and you never associate yourself as a Christian artist, but you just come out and are just like, I'm doing this. And then Christians find out that you're a Christian. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And they'll let you do a lot of things, honestly, as sad as this sounds, because they're just like, man, you know, it's so hard.
Let's
that life
them.
That they're working, but
we don't want to push them over.
Yeah,
the edge.
Yeah, but you know, but God's working in that. But someone who comes up in like CHH or comes up in gospel, or you know, I remember when Fred Hammond was like, yo, I'm about to record this love song, like this love album. It was like apostasy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
feeling that.
Yes, this is, you know, heresy, finding out, you know, whatever.
But then when David Blackstreet, dude.
David Hollister.
When David Hollister, when Woody Rock,
all of
when,
them.
When Coco.
We let it all
when
go,
they come to
man.
The faith.
Man.
And they're like, oh,
what? We waving a flag for Christendom in this. And it's just a very, it just has to do with this idea, in my opinion, in my estimation, of gaining ground and seeding ground. And it's a very weird and perverse way in which we think about the faith.
No, I think that observation is excellent. I will say this. I think that it's the conversation seems to be different depending on the context in which you deal in. So I think in the Christian hip hop and gospel world, Black folks tend to be a little more reserved on showing grace to the artist who fraternizes in the secular world.
Yes.
But when you have like your Bonos and your Owl Cities and I don't know who else folks, Christians who didn't predominantly come up in contemporary Christian music,
right.
but still kind of display some sort of faith, it seems like our white brothers and sisters have more grace towards them.
Yeah. John Stevens.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that Pedro the Lion, who isn't a Christian anymore at this point, but yeah, like very similar.
I didn't know who that is, but yes, sounds exactly.
Sounds like those type of people. I'm
sounds
talking
like
about.
That kind of guy. Yes.
Yeah.
But I will say that tends to be the rundown when you look at both sides of the track on how they process secular music versus sacred music. But I will say, I don't know. I tend to think that the people who show grace to a Kendrick and who get excited about Kendrick are the people who show grace to the Molly Musics and the Lecraes. Like the people who have an uproar about the Lecraes and the Molly Music are the same people, I think, that don't get excited about hearing Kendrick Lamar. Like,
sure.
Because I remember when I was praising Kendrick's album, folks, like there would be people, and some of these people were close friends of mine. Like, what about that album do you see that's redeemable? And we would have intelligent, and some of them, there were really intelligent conversations that I would have. And I don't want to be condescending as if like everything I shared was right on point. Like they said some things that made me think like, yeah, you know, that's honest critique that I'll consider. But those are the same people who I think will also criticize folks who like the Lecraes, who've criticized me or criticized other people because they felt like you're moving away from what we thought was the core values of Christian hip hop music.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Did you see the update that Rapzilla Poet?
No.
In fairness to them,
I
don't know if I should read the whole thing, but in terms of that text thing, them posting the text messages.
Yep.
They said that I texted Aaron or
Asai
on Friday to let him know that we had to let the Rapzilla audience know where he stood as far as his Christian faith, and offered for him to give a statement. Aaron texted the statement above. The reason we needed to do that is because we were a platform that co-signed him and connected fans who were looking to consume hip hop by Christians. We don't want people listening to Aaron's music and getting confused by the message with the assumption that he is speaking through a biblical worldview. The rest is history. This paints us greatly. We love Aaron.
I will say I agree with that only because, and this is the only reason why I agree with that, is because they started a label that signed him.
That's what they say earlier in this statement. Right. They say,
and so,
we signed him to infiltrate music when he was 15 years old.
So, okay, before you assume, I'm cool with that, right? I think there's a false assumption, though, logically, in that statement.
Okay.
That only Christians can offer up a biblically sound worldview.
No, I don't think that's what they're saying.
That is what he just said. He said that they're going to listen to is not going to be a biblical worldview.
Well, okay, so yes.
So,
but what I'm saying is what they're saying is we intentionally have a market, right? And our market is directed towards those who are Christians.
Okay, so I understand where Rapzilla is coming from.
Right.
I'm more dealing with Christianity in general, this piece of it pisses me off.
But what I will say is that's not them, though. Like, no, that's again, you. That's Fourth District. That's...
Again, please hear me if you're listening. I am not talking about what Rapzilla's statement just is. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the general assumption that Christians have a monopoly on biblical truth. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I think if you read Between the World and Me, Ta-Nehisi Coates has a lot of to say. Now, he will completely reject the Bible, mm-hmm. in its inerrancy, so on and so forth. But at the same time, I think if you read that book, there is... I honestly think that it's... For him to write that, there is a prophetic piece to it. To some extent, I feel, mm-hmm. feel like it can... That God can pen that, right? Mm-hmm. And I can see God's workmanship in that. So, apology for my theological like rant inside, but at the end of the day, it's very frustrating when it's like, man, are people not intelligent enough to listen to his music and to say,
absolutely not in Christian music, because it's never been marketed as that. Christian music has always been marketed as the very palatable music that you can buy without critical thinking. Like that's what it's been. It's like, if you like this guy, then you'll like this guy. Like, don't take something off the shelf, actually castigate it theologically and socially, and then give it to your kid and say, hey, I listened to this album, and though I am going to allow you to listen to it, there's a couple things that I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. But one, I want to let you listen to it, and I want you to discern what's good and what's not about this album. But I'm, as a parent or as a friend or whatever, these are some things that concern me about that album. They don't, just because it's Christian music, they assume. I had people threaten, I had distributors threatening to take my album off of shelves because of certain content on there. Mm-hmm. Nobody actually listened. They just heard an uproar about it. So they called me. It was like, hey, did you say this on the album? I was like, I absolutely did. They was like, well, I have people complain. I was like, well, just listen to the album. Just listen to it. And then people go back and listen to it. Like, oh, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I had a protest at a... I performed at a seminary. There was literally a group of folks who said, we're not bringing our students to this concert if he performs at this conference. It was a conference and a concert. We're not bringing them to this if he performs. The president of the seminary who...
Call him out.
The president is Danny Aiken, who who supported me.
I understand.
Southeastern in Wake Forest. So, but he was like, man, he admitted he was like, I was concerned when I heard that, so I went and listened to the song. He was like, I get it. Yeah. He was like, I understand why you made this song. It's very necessary for today's time. It's necessary for this culture, and the thing that we both had to understand is I have to, and I knew this, and that's why I made a lot of prefaces, statements about before you purchase this album, understand what's on it. And so for me, I can't assume that people are going to be responsible listeners and just purchase my album and just throw it on, right? And then the other side is people have to understand that they can't just blindly buy albums without evaluating it theologically, because there's some albums out there that I wouldn't want my kids listening to because the theological content is terrible.
Right. And I guess I understand exactly everything you're saying. And I think, you know, what I always would wrestle with when I was like really, really plugged into CHH, I guess, and the world, like, is like, what do you do with the artist who everything on record is Christian, but the life behind it does not, and like, you know this, yeah. like the people that you might know, the life just does not, it's nothing that's close to that. And so to my level, this like this tension of like, man, I've been in enough environments that have where people have nothing to do with Christianity, people have nothing to do with church or the gospel or whatever, but I've gotten to meet these people and live life with them and work in areas, and the character and the and not to just give this like some, you know, amorphous morality or whatever, but like, mm-hmm. but what they're actually searching for, like being able to bond with them and connect with them and honestly give the gospel to them. But their music does not reflect anything close to, you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Like, yeah. And so I'd always be in this place where like, man, I just want to listen to the heart of whoever is providing right. whatever their art is. And I want to meet them where they are, because that's an honest place.
Yeah, I treat that. So I treat both both scenarios the same. Yeah. Like I've known, and I will continue to listen to music from at one point in time, Christian artists or artists who are Christian and don't live the life that they claim to live on mm-hmm. record. Mm-hmm. And I will listen to that album as if it was a person who
was
and is a very practicing Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the truth of God is devoid of the messenger. Like it's mm-hmm. truth. It's mm-hmm. given. Like you said about Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, mm-hmm. God uses people. They're mouthpieces, right? Mm-hmm. There's Simon the Sorcerer. No, not Simon the Sorcerer. There's the witch, I forgot her name. But anyway, in Acts, the book of Acts, there's a woman who's prophesying about Paul and Barnabas coming to the city. It's like she's doing all kinds of witchcraft and magic, but then she says she sees Paul and Barnabas. She's like, listen to these men of God. Mm-hmm. Like, listen to who they are. The Lord can use whoever he wants to use. And for instance, so there's two albums that I think of off the top of my head that have really encouraged me recently. What's the dog? John Mayer's Continuum is an album that I listen to mm-hmm. oftentimes when I just get in a particular mood.
Sure.
Nothing gospel about his album, but sure. there's a lot of content on that album that just touches my soul, that, mm-hmm. that teaches me about being discontent, about greed, about anxiety.
Yeah.
And I think he does a wonderful job of being able to connect truth to contemporary issues. And then Kendrick Lamar's album To Pimp a Butterfly, I mm-hmm. think there's a lot of content in there that, and I do think if he's a professing Christian, I don't have a problem with him. This is the thing about me, but let me interject this in the middle of this particular rant. I don't prescribe salvation to anybody. Yeah. I still right. doubt that you two are Christians.
Absolutely.
So I should. So you should. Thank you. And so yeah. I don't take salvation from sure. anybody, and I don't give salvation absolutely. To anybody. Same. When you die, I'm like, hey, he died believing, and he was a good dude. I love him. Right. And right. hopefully I'll see him in heaven. Right. I know I'm a Christian. So to get back yeah. on the rant, when I listen to Kendrick, I think there's a process, as Dan likes to put it. There's a process he's going through, mm-hmm. and I appreciate the process, and I allow him to make music in that process. And I think the Lord is using him in the music to touch people like me. He's not going to probably touch the average CHH listener because mm-hmm. they're not at that place in life. And I respect their opinion about Kendrick, mm-hmm. and I would hope that they respect mine. I know we're not at that place right now, as mm-hmm. you've kind of articulated, like, God uses a diversity of people to get his message out. Yeah. Now, there are those people who I think primarily understand and get it and push
sure.
it. But I also feel like there are people on the fringes mm-hmm. who have the same gift and calling, or who have the same opportunity to communicate truth. They're not the... they may not do it as skillfully and as thoughtfully and as theologically... strong as mm-hmm. others. And so I'll listen to the backsliding Christian, the apostate, whatever, mm-hmm. and I'll listen to the non-believer both equally and say, man.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I think part of why I asked the question is because I've encountered and dealt with or have seen platforms and Mark who benefit, who have the knowledge of this lifestyle behind this artist that does not line up with the message, and they will, and they're just like, well, the message lines up with what we promote. Yeah. So we put this out there, but you know that behind the scenes, whatever, the hearts, blah, 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 blah.
Absolutely.
And then there are, but, and then they'll have the very strict, you know, hand of God against
someone who's being honest.
Yeah, like working through that same process. And it's
unfortunate.
Yeah, honestly, Tone talks about this all the time. B. Slade, you know what I mean?
He's one of the guys I was thinking about.
Yeah, like,
I still listen to a lot of his music.
Amazing.
I still listen to
amazing
it.
Amazing.
And then
artist.
Guess what happens when his music come on? I don't think about B. Slade.
Right.
I think about the dope music that I'm listening to that glorifies God.
Right.
Now, if B. Slade want to be B. Slade and do his B. Slade stuff.
Absolutely.
That's he and the Lord is going to have to work out that, right? He works out his salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. But as for his music that he made, I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, now, like I said, there are people, when Deuce and when Truth had their marital indiscretions, mm-hmm. And it was very public about it, does that mean that the music that they made during those periods are to be disqualified?
Right.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was it as genuine? Probably not. No, mm-hmm. because they were in the middle of performing egregious acts before the Lord and their mm-hmm. and their wives or whatever in the community of God. But the music that they made to me will still minister to me. It's mm-hmm. still, it depending if you thought it was good or not, you know what I'm saying? It's still good or whatever. And there are people to this day doing the same thing.
Yeah,
like there are artists that you like who have indiscretions in their lives, but you still enjoy them. But the moment you find out mm-hmm. that they had these particular moments, are you going to say, well, it was a mistake of me to appreciate their music
Absolutely.
And their
offering? No.
Yeah. David is a perfect example of that in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. No. But I do feel the authenticity in music. And so, like, to be honest,
how do you feel? Like, my question would be...
When we did a First Bins of Theories album...
Theory has it.
Where he is very blatant about the wrestlings that he has in life, the questions of faith that he had in life, and that album, more so than any other CHH Christian hip-hop album last year, ministered to my heart. And maybe it's because I am so jacked up, like
that,
I need
and
other
so I was
jacked
ask
up
that,
people.
Like, is it because you're in that place? Because I don't want to say something is more authentic just because somebody's not spilling their sin, like they're not confessing.
I mean, I would say, but there's even other stuff. Like if you follow forth at all, there's a dude named Trevor Hall who he's Hindu, and like mm-hmm. but there's a level of belief and authenticity. Like I listen to him, and I know at the depth of his soul, like, he is seeking truth, and we may choose to disagree about how to find that truth or what that truth is, but just in him talking about love, hope, these other things that we can both agree exist mm-hmm. is encouraging to me. And when there's times that I listen to music and I know they wrote it to make a paycheck, and then there's times that I listen to music and I know that the very core of who they are, they believe this music mm-hmm. and I can tell the difference. I don't know. But it's obvious.
I will say I agree with you. I would also say that we have to be careful with saying that just because, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I would assume that you believe this to some degree, and there are a lot of people who listen to us who believe this, is that we got to be careful just because Christians are confident about what they believe in and they love Jesus and they communicate that, and there's not a whole lot of confessing of the daily tensions of life. They may
that
talk about
lying,
that they're lying that. Exactly, or that they're writing it for a paycheck
mm-hmm.
or that it's not authenticity, right? On wax. I do think there are a lot of dudes who make music that I'll listen to that, cause this is the flip side of my struggle right now. Like, so Christian hip hop went from this high theological music to this proclamation music with the 116. So it went from like, The banner of Christian hip hop was theologically mm-hmm. theological content with cross movement and more of your East Coast heavy influence, and then it went to more proclamation, kind of declare that you're not ashamed, be bold and bash it about your faith. Now I feel like it's turning or evolving into this emo where it's like I must emote over all things, which I don't feel like it's a problem, but I think now what's in style is proclaiming your wretchedness. And to some degree, there's nothing noble about proclaiming wretchedness without finding the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe at the end of the day, you must find something in order for it to be admirable.
Here's what's also the sad part about that too, is that people proclaim their wretchedness also as a paycheck.
Exactly.
It's also a money making branding.
Especially in mainstream music.
What I'm not saying is wretchedness. That is not what I'm asking for. Wretched. I'm asking for authenticity. Like that. I want to hear your music and like feel like your joy. If it's joy, let it be joy. Mm-hmm. If it's pain, let it be pain.
I got you.
That's not. Yeah. I'm not necessarily. I need to feel pain because I'm in a painful place. Mm-hmm. I know when I hear music that like comes from a genuine, authentic place, and I know when I hear music that was written for a paycheck. And
let me pick a group that I think does both pretty well.
Okay,
right?
Let's try it.
Social Club.
Hmm.
So I think Social Club does. Their music is, I don't know Social Club that well, but I feel like they're authentically them.
Which is probably why I rock with them. But
I also feel like their music is very checkworthy-ish. Like, it's very commercial. Like, the kind of music they make is marketable. It's very, it's palatable for teens.
Both Marty and Fern would both agree with you, and which is honestly why they both decided, forgive me guys for putting words in your mouth, but to do their solo projects just recently because they wanted to do music that they wanted to do that was genuinely them, and they needed to kind of do that. So
what I'm saying is to me, they from what I know of them, right? From what the music the and I'm not going to sit here and act like I consume their catalog, but from the music that I listen, from the interviews that I've heard and the videos I watch, they seem like they are being themselves. They're authentically who they are, which is good, but they're also very commercial. And I guess what I'm trying to say, what I was trying to communicate is like, there's nuances in this. You can't easily divorce. Sure. Right. So
There's tension.
Right.
There's tension. I will say like they were probably doing what they're doing that has become commercial before anyone else was doing the like, we're gonna be goofy as crap and we're just gonna be comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And that became like the next cool thing. You saw them do it. Like, this is the first time. Okay, we're like getting deep into the subgenre of CHH now, and so anyone that's not in that, I apologize. that you didn't know you were about to go down this rabbit hole with us. But it's the first time in me following CHH that I saw Reach Records have to pivot because of someone else. Like, everyone else chase after Reach Records. Stop. You had KB put Bubba Watson on a song, and I guarantee you it's because they saw Social Club doing their thing, signing checks.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. I think that's a stretch. I think that's an extreme.
You saw KB, Mr. Stretch. Gospel, Mr. I'm not decision. Going to waste a single a breath in decision, an interview. We tried to get him to talk about anything. You know, he wanted to share the gospel.
He was on
with
a song
so
before that,
times.
Though, too. Like he was on. Forgot what song.
He was on Thizzle. I mean, him and
was it
him
on Thizzle
and Thizz
song?
Are actually like they're like actually friends.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is like he was on another song before that. He was just like talking on the track or something like that. I can't remember what song it was. All I'm saying is this: I doubt that. Like now, though, I think that was a terrible decision to the art. Like that to me is like. Like when I think about art, like nobody's gonna say, "Hey, but watch, let me take a swing in the masters for you." So for me, it's like that shows me how much I think people think of the art of hip hop.
Wait a second. So this dude rapped. This
yes,
golfer.
He's
a golfer.
Thizzle wrote this.
Yeah, I don't care who wrote the verse for him.
Yeah,
the fact that he got on a track that sells records to me was a slap in the face to the artisticness and the realness of the art of hip hop.
But it was the Reach Records effort to do the Pizza Party song. Like,
say that was KB's effort to do the Pizza Party song.
Well, that's my point.
But Reach Records has done Pizza Party songs before. But what I'm saying is, I don't think Social Club in any way moved any needle that that created any kind of intimidation or like, hey, we got to sit around and
think
about how to make. First of all, if there's anybody who's the king of suburban like audiences, it's Reach Records owns that. So, like Social Club, if anything,
I agree with your a little statement. Bit
of, yeah,
but at the same time, I think they saw what Social Club was like.
Andy Mineo is Social Club on steroids, but and I know people are gonna take this the wrong way, but more hip hop, like more his. he has more, like, his bar, he's more authentically hip hop.
He is funny, and he can be funny on songs, and, and it works.
Exactly. So, and what I'm saying is, like, so that to me also kind of like dismantles the argument in itself to think that Social Club moves the needle, but Andy Mineo.
I think they're cut from the same cloth. I think around the same time. Again, I think what Social Club has done is very impressive to me.
No, yeah, and I haven't seen
anyone else.
That's
do
the reason
it.
Why I brought that up. Because for me, no, that's the reason why I brought them up, because I feel like they represent that kind of
we
that
just
duality.
Went on agreement that, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That, diss but, me, I diss thee.
But I just know that that's entirely too much talking about Christian rap for me. So,
I'm look. I'm about to champion.
The title
Christian
for this
rap
one has got to be like Meat Mill and Christian rap. And people are going to be so confused.
It's all good. It's all good. Lights low and the curtains open. And I'm the maestro for this certain moment. Trying to take it sky high. So go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand.